Welcome to Behind the Grit, the podcast where chaos is no match for grit. As an entrepreneur, I can tell you, I don't wait for success. I make a way despite all odds. For me personally, after living in quiet desperation, facing numerous challenges followed by tragedy, I refuse to give up. To this day, I remain disciplined and I continue to grow my business, create a legacy while curating a life I love on my terms. I know for me, failure has taught me things I wouldn't have learned from success. I have faced an insurmountable amount of adversity over the past decade, and I never gave up, nor will I. In this podcast, I'm going to share my unfiltered, raw, and real lessons on how having downright grit is a necessity in business and in everyday life. This podcast is not only for entrepreneurs, it's for anyone who's faced adversity or who is struggling with a lack or a fixed mindset or who knows they are meant to make an impact but don't know where to start. I'm not only going to share the challenges I experienced, I'm going to share the solutions and strategy I use to pull myself back up each and every time. Welcome to Behind the Grit. I am your host, Monica Klein. I'm so excited to welcome you to episode one. This has been a long time in the making. I want to impart some of my hard-earned wisdom when it comes to entrepreneurship, building brands and businesses, and just getting really gritty and messy in life in general. This podcast is going to be a mix of real-life lessons that I've experienced firsthand, both personally and professionally. So let me lay the foundation for you and share a little bit of where I started. I want to share the lessons that I've learned in hopes of imparting this wisdom forever, whoever feels that they were led here today to tune in. Everything in life goes back to the decisions that you make, whether it be last week, last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. You are living your reality based on yesterday's decisions. This is why I am such an advocate for creating your life versus living a life out of default. When you're going through your day-to-day life, your mindset is such a critical part of your success. It doesn't matter if we're talking success in your career, in your business, in your family, in your relationships. Your mindset dictates how you are going to get through things. If you do not have a healthy mindset, you're going to suffer. So I always go back and I say, how you take care of your mindset determines your quality of life. For me personally, whenever I reflect and I knew I was like deep in a struggle, it was because I was being sloppy with my thoughts. I couldn't point the finger at anybody else. It was my own doing. It was my job to fix my mindset so I could live a beautiful and successful life. And success is different to everybody. I'm not talking about financial or possessions. I am talking about what you feel is success. When you're sloppy with your thoughts, that's not going to lead you to a successful path. And I'm going to share a lot of these lessons I have learned when I was sloppy with my thoughts. My struggles came in many forms, from failed relationships to controlling relationships, one-sided relationships. This also stemmed from me not knowing my worth, or I was wanting to please everybody around me. Although I was raised in a great family with a great upbringing, there was something that was instilled in me that made me believe I needed to be a certain way or act in a specific manner or please everybody around me. And unfortunately, I did not learn until very later in life that this is all a bunch of fucking shit. People pleasing is what leads to the detriment of your mindset. You are not meant to be perfect in life. If you are, you are hurting and you are suffering. And I can attest to that. So let me share a bit of my background here. I grew up in a very loving family. I grew up as an only child with my mom and dad. It was always the three musketeers. And I learned, not having siblings, I learned to do a lot of things on my own, which my parents, they laid a path for me, that they provided many opportunities, but they never handed things to me, which in my eyes is the way you parent. And so moving on, learning to do things on my own, I was allowed to stumble. I was allowed to fail. I was allowed to fall. And I was also encouraged to pull myself back up from a very young age. If it wasn't for that, I don't think I would be sitting here sharing these lessons with you. I consider my upbringing a blessing, growing up with parents that loved me unconditionally and that gave me and allowed me these opportunities. Instead of bailing me out when I got into any kind of trouble, they let me figure it out on my own. They would give me advice and impart their wisdom, but it was my problem to solve, not theirs, nor was it somebody else's to solve. And so this was ingrained in me at a very young age. Where the people pleasing came in was from outside sources and their needs and their wants and their desires that they forced on me. And one, being a female, and two, growing up in, I was a baby of the 70s, growing up in the 80s and 90s. And if you know anything about that era, women weren't really supposed to use their voice. We were told to look pretty, be presentable, only speak when you were spoken to, know enough to have a conversation, but don't overpower conversations. And there was just so much mindfuckery going on. And when I look back and all the times I wanted to speak up or interject or share my opinion, I wasn't supposed to. It was frowned upon. So this is where I started to piece together where I became the people pleaser, because what people started to notice is how I would care for them or take care of things because I was doing acts of service because I couldn't use my voice. And let me tell you, if you know anything about me or you follow me today or you've read my book, I have a big voice and I have a message to share, and I make no apologies about sharing how I feel. So I have come a long way since those early days. So also growing up in the 80s, you know, I have this natural tan skin and I am tricultural. I always say I have like a very, I'm a mixed breed. And growing up tan, Latina, in a suburb of Los Angeles with a German surname, I was a little confused. Not to mention my mom, God bless her, she wanted to do the best for me. And she would always tell me, make sure you're presentable. That's the only way you're going to attract a great man. Make sure your hair is done, your makeup is done, you're always in a dress. And there was something that I loved about being feminine and being raised a feminine, but I also positioned me to, again, become that people pleaser. And we'll jump into that when I talk about the different relationships, or failed relationships, I should say, and where that led to. And again, it goes back to the root, to the foundation. And so fast forward, as I got a little older, my dad took me under his wing. My dad was a serial entrepreneur. He was found ups and downs, some success, some failures, and back and forth. And every time he experienced failure, he got back up. And I would see that, and I paid attention as a little girl. If it weren't for seeing that, again, I probably would have crumbled by now because I've experienced a lot of adversity and a lot of failure. And for me, those have been lessons that have led me to the next step, which has led to greatness and success. So as my dad took me under his wing and he said, as a woman and going into this future, you know, they were talking about like the early 2000s. He's like, you need to have an education. You need to pave your own path. Don't follow what a lot of your family, whether it be my older cousins or my aunts, he would say, you can pave your own path. You don't need to get married and have a child. He's like, there is more opportunity for you. So my dad definitely instilled the education in me and explore. Anything that you want to do, you can make happen. So that's possibly where my entrepreneurial spirit started. And I opened up my first lemonade stand, and I had a cash box and an accounting sheet that my dad gave me. And every weekend, he would help me count what I made. And then he would take my profit and saying, this is going to pay for your supplies for next week. And I would cry. And then next week I would double that. And then he would take profit, part of the profit, to pay for the expenses. I would cry again. And I was probably like 8 years old at this point. And eventually I got used to it because I started to realize I was getting more in return. It was the act of the service of building the stand, of making the lemonade, of setting up shop on the corner of our street, to collecting the money, to making handwritten receipts. It was all of that that I really dove into and I loved at that young age. So fast forward, only child, figuring out things on my own, I decided to go down this path. And I was definitely a little more of a free spirit, wild child as I entered my teenage years. I feel my parents thought I was going through a phase, and I felt I was very grounded with the house I was living in, the love and support my parents provided, but I always wanted to explore. I was always out and about and doing things as an only child that I probably shouldn't have been doing, riding my bike as far as I could, going and finding parks and exploring. And this is before cell phones, of course, and my mom would get so angry at me because I just needed to explore. There was something in me that needed to go and figure things out on my own. Let's pause this episode for a moment and let me ask you, are you ready to step out of your comfort zone and tackle challenges head on? Maybe you feel stuck and your problems feel insurmountable. Do you believe you have a message to share with the world, but you don't know where to start? Are you struggling with how to bounce back from any setbacks you're facing? Or maybe you're struggling to get traction even though you feel you're doing everything right. Or maybe you're grinding day in and day out with little to no results to show for it. If you are looking to rise into your personal greatness, to own your worth, and start living life on your terms, I have a solution for you. My book, entitled Behind the Grit, is filled with real-life lessons and solutions. Now, I don't hold back in this book. I share all of the shit I went through, the moments where I didn't feel like I could hold on anymore. I was literally grasping for the end of the rope. I was battling anxiety, depression, feeling lost, and hiding in my closet, fearing for my life. It was in these moments that I held on to my faith, my belief in self, and I found my true identity. These are the moments I knew I had a higher calling placed on my life, and I needed to share my message. I invite you to order my book now. I have it linked in the show notes below, or head over to my website or my social media to order your copy. I have found in the lessons and in each scenario I faced, which I'm now sharing with you in an unfiltered, behind-the-scenes way, that if I only help one person overcome whatever they're going through, then my goal has been fulfilled. So, fast forward. What happens is I meet who I think is the love of my life, and I am still in high school, so it's a very young love. And we ended up having a beautiful son who is my only child. And I remember graduating high school and finding out I was pregnant. And I'm like, what am I going to do? Growing up in a very Catholic household, you have no other options. So my parents rallied behind me. And as frightened and scared as I was, I knew my parents would be there and help me with this. At that point, lots of people wanted to offer their opinions. And I was so impressionable, I allowed them to interject their views, their opinions, their thoughts, not all of them pleasant, into my head and my heart, that I was setting myself up for a hard life being a single mom, being a young single mom. And I carried those with me for years, those messages. And, you know, fast forward now that I'm older and wiser, and I think back and I'm like, my goodness, How far could I have soared if people didn't offer their unsolicited fucking advice? Like, shut the fuck up and keep that shit to yourself. I don't want your opinion. And I always ask people today, would you like my feedback? Do you want some constructive advice? Because I don't ever want to lodge a negative thought or something that's going to stick in somebody's heart or head or soul for years, decades. I don't ever want to be the person that does that. So I went through life as a young mom, realizing that all of these people, even to the doctor that delivered my son, saying, oh, you're a young mom. I'll see you back here next year. And I looked at him and I said, the fuck you will. That was a horrible childbirth. I had a very difficult birth. Thank goodness my son came out extremely healthy, but it was quite traumatic. And when I said, you will not be seeing me back here, I meant it. And so here I am, fast forward with one child. But those messages I had to learn to heal from and to replace what those messages did to me, how they stunted me, and making sure I was not going to pass it on to my son. So fast forward to this point, we wanted to do the right thing. And even though I felt we were head over heels in love, we brought this child into the world. We got married. Follow your intuition. Today, I know this. Back when I was 19, 20 years old, I didn't know that. Nobody told me to follow that intuition, that gut feeling. Today in business, I follow it and I live by it. Back then, I didn't. So I remember trembling, scared, and everybody said it's pre-wedding jitters. And my parents had planned this very large, elaborate Catholic wedding and reception. And we had like a dozen bridesmaids and groomsmen. It was a fucking circus, if you ask me. I would rather have done something small and simple. But I was so scared. I did not want to do it. And my dad pulled me aside the day before my wedding. And he said, you don't have to do this. You have your mom and myself here. We're going to help you raise your son. You don't have to walk down that aisle. We can call it all off today. To the point, my dad, he was so smart. Back then, you know, we're talking the early 90s now, $10,000 was a lot of money. My dad offered me a trip to Hawaii. I had never been to Hawaii at this phase of my life. He offered me a car. It's probably a used car. It was probably his truck. Who knows? And he offered me $10,000 to not get married. And because he saw the fear and he kept saying, maybe if I like up the reward, she won't do it. And I looked at him and I said, but I love him. And I went the next morning. I put my wedding dress on. My dad walked me down the aisle and that was it. I never went back and asked my dad how serious he was about what he was offering me, because now I feel like he was testing to make sure I was doing something I really wanted to do. That was my first sign of being aware of how I was feeling and what my emotions and how I was processing that. And as I shared, I today would not have done that. I would have run the other way. So fast forward. We're young. We are raising our son. And my son is about 2 years old at this point. And I went to go pick up a family member from the airport. And I came home. We never fought. We never argued. We lived a very peaceful coexistence. We were figuring things out because we were just so fresh and young and newlyweds and a young baby. And I came home. And I remember my parents were meeting at my house, and I picked up the family member from the airport, and I came home, and he moved out. My husband, the father of my son, he just moved out without warning. That's like a shock and awe. That is, shakes you to your core. There's no cell phones back in this day. I think we had pagers, and I have no way to get a hold of him. It's a weekend. I can't call his work. And I didn't know what to do. So I just kept quiet. I kept it a secret. I closed the closet door and I acted like everything was okay as my parents and my family was asking where he was. And I said, oh, he got called in to work. I just lied. I didn't want anybody to question what was really going on. My gut knew, my intuition knew that it was too much for him to handle. From that point forward, I made the decision to never let anyone have that kind of power over me. Or so I thought. I made the decision that day that I was okay being a single mom, that I would figure it out, that I would work hard, finish my college education, I would do whatever it took, and I would have to lean on my mom and dad, who I knew would be there for me. So at this point, I had to play it safe. I didn't know what the future held. All I knew is I had this 2-year-old and my parents. And so I moved forward, and I decided at that point, as much as I wanted to do something very different with my career path, I decided to take the safe route. I went to school and I studied accounting. I wanted to become a CPA because a CPA or a tax accountant, that is, death and taxes are certain in life. So I knew I would have security and I knew I could climb up the ranks and have a secure job with benefits to take care of my son. That was my only goal. So I was working as an assistant to an accountant, of course, and I was finishing my education whenever I could, nights, weekends, whenever I had the time, and raising my son. And I was juggling it all. My mom would come and live with me for months at a time. My dad would come in for the weekends. And eventually, we did officially, legally get divorced. And at that point, he wanted to come back. He had grown up. He had realized what he walked away from. And at that point, I had gained so much strength that I said no. And my mom said, do the right thing. Give your son the parents he deserves. And I said, this is not giving my son the parents he deserves. If he's walked out once, he'll do it again. And I'm not signing up for that, because the damage that does to anyone, let alone a young single mom, it's passed on to the child. So I stuck to my guns, and that was when I drew the line in the sand, and I decided I needed to focus on what this next phase of my life was going to be like. Little did I know how many decades it would last and how evolved I would become from this. So fast forward how this has played out now 30 years later. Very proud to say my son is very well balanced in my eyes due to the commitment I made to him to do everything in my power to raise him right with my parents by my side. And although I wanted to take risks, I wanted to go in different career paths, I wanted to open a business, I didn't, because I needed the safety net and the security to provide a stable life for myself and my son. Although I've always been the risk taker, I had to pull back on that. I had to look at what was right in front of me. So I didn't go all in opening a business until I knew my son was secure. And if you've known my past 15 years, I have become the serial entrepreneur, with the most recent of owning my business for about 8 years at this point in time. And so in hindsight, I reflect back to, you know, what you know now. If I would have known what I know today, looking back when my son was so young, versus taking the safe route and working for a big corporation in the accounting department, going to school at night, versus jumping off the deep end and becoming an entrepreneur, opening a small business back then, today, I would have said, take the fucking risk. You have what it takes. You're going to make it. But I took the safe route. So the moral of that is, it really depends where you are in life. Not everybody is at a jump off the deep end place in life. If you have people you're caring for, whether it's elderly parents or children, you need to use caution before you take the leap. Entrepreneurship is not for the faint of heart. It is hard as hell. It is a roller coaster. You have to have the strongest mindset to get through it every single day. You need to be your biggest hype person in your life. You need to talk yourself off the ledge, probably on a daily basis, and you need to be able to pull back and reward yourself. You need to keep it all together, and you need to be able to care for the other people that are in your sphere when you're building this, whether it be your clients, your employees, independent contractors, and you need to think, what is their future look like? What is the ripple effect? I always remember in the morning, what is the ripple effect of my actions? If I go out today and I buy something I want, let's say 5 years ago, is that going to hinder my performance for a client because I was frivolous? And then how is that going to the ripple effect to her children because I'm not going to perform at my best? How is that going to affect what she, her earning potential? How is that going to affect her kids? Will they have food on the table, roof over their head, be able to get to school, afford college? All of those things. So being an entrepreneur is not collecting a paycheck, is not about freedom. It is about the accountability. You are held accountable to so many people, and you have to stop and take it seriously. And this is where I go back to the foundation. If I did not draw the line in the sand and I kept yo-yoing with my son's father, or I didn't play it safe and take the job that offered health benefits and 401k and investments and things of that nature, I would not have been in the right frame of mind or health to be able to properly care for my child. That is what you call fight or flight. And when you live in that stage, you can't soar. So my number one lesson is be aware of your surroundings and know exactly how tough you are. How thick is your skin? What do you have to fall back on? What is your safety net if everything is pulled out from underneath you? If you cannot honestly say that you can push yourself through those types of circumstances, then perhaps entrepreneurship isn't on the horizon for you yet. It can be, but you need to do your due diligence. So I want to make sure, as I'm sharing from the heart and with actual struggles that I've experienced in my journey over the past 30 years, I also want you to bring your mind on this journey because you need your heart and your mind to do this. Where I really stopped is I knew it was time for me to launch my own business, or maybe it was just a side business at this point while I was still working for somebody else, which is completely okay. I think they refer to this today as a side hustle, which I don't really like the term hustle because I don't think when you're following your true calling and passion in life, I don't believe it's a hustle. I think you do it naturally and you give and you probably tend to overgive because you love what you do. But I'll tell you, raising my son, and I always say we raised each other. So growing up and struggling as a single mom, earning one paycheck a month, working ridiculous hours so I could get noticed for my effort, just to move up the ladder, just so I could get to that next level, whether it was pay or bonuses or being acknowledged so I can transfer to a bigger position. I was a queen of that. It was a much different time back then. It wasn't so digital as we're used to today. But I'm so grateful for all of these experiences. They did shape me. They shaped where I'm at today. They shaped the path I took. And I had some good experiences and some not so good experiences, which I have built my company on the foundation of what not to do. They always say, if you want to learn how to do something, learn what not to do first, and then build it from there. So today, as I sit here in front of you with my son, who's doing very well, living life on his terms, I taught him to go after his passion, even though it's been difficult for him as well. I've rooted him on. I've supported him. I have done whatever I could to make sure that his dreams come to fruition, because life isn't meant to live a life of default or to live life doing it by what somebody else wants you to do. You're not living authentically to yourself. Life led me down this different path because I knew I was meant to make a difference. I knew I was meant to share my message, which I will get into in future episodes. Today is only episode one, so I have a lot to share, a lot of lessons, a lot of things that went wrong, and how I was able to pull myself up from them. So I reflected a lot before I just took some notes to start this episode, and I just want to set that foundation for you so you understand where this is headed and why I ended up going through so many of these experiences that were truly life-altering, which some of them were very scary and risky. You have to have faith and belief in yourself first. If you don't believe in yourself, you're not going to go very far. You have to start with your mindset. You have to start with taking care of yourself, whether that is health, wellness, fitness. But your mind should be at the very top of that list every single day. I have not shared a lot of the bad, horrendous adversity I've experienced. And I'm kind of have a little bit of a giggle under my breath because the fact that I am sharing it, I've not opened up. And the fact that I'm sitting here sharing it tells me I overcame, I went through it, and I'm so much more resilient, stronger, gritty, and I don't feel untouchable, but I do know I can take almost anything that comes my way. And when we get into some of those things, I think I might shock some of you. Very few people know what I've actually lived through, and my goal here is not to shock you. It's to educate and to inspire you and to give you the solutions. If you're going through anything similar to what I went through, I want to provide a solution for you. So the lesson I want to leave you with today is, no matter where you are in life, no matter if you feel like the odds are just stacked against you, I promise you, there is a way out. I've been there. I felt like that multiple times, and I found my way out. There is a way to live a life that's fulfilling on your terms. I have found it, and if I have found it, I know you can too. I'm going to share more of the lessons and the solutions also inside of my book, which is also titled Behind the Grit. So I go deeper into a lot of the lessons and how I step-by-step walked out of them, and I provide you every single dirty detail. Some of them, it was very hard for me to share, but I knew I was doing the right thing because if I can help one person, then I've done the right thing. I want you to remember that living in fear stops you from taking risks, which is where the fruit is. Since I stopped living in fear and stopped people-pleasing and stopped doing things for everybody around me, my life has blossomed into such a beautiful love story with myself of how I want to do things, how I respond, how I go through my everyday life. So I just want to encourage you and know that if you feel stuck, keep going. The messy middle breeds the most beautiful moments in your life. Until next time. Thanks for tuning in. If you received value from this episode, please post to your Instagram and tag me, or leave a review and comment on the platform you're tuning in from. I'd love to hear from you. Make sure you also head over to my website and subscribe to Digital Gold, where I share gold nuggets on how to build a brand and a business with multiple revenue streams. I've linked my site in the show notes below. I want to leave you with this. The life and business you desire is so much closer than you think. Go all in on your dreams and do it like your life depends on it. I'm rooting for you.